Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Today we're talking about Rise and Shine. It's a series that Pastor Doug started last week, and I love it because it's basically rise and shine. There's two parts. First part's rise. Second part, shine, obviously. But I feel like you can't have one without the other. You know, you need to first rise, and then you need to shine. Getting up in the morning, it can be tough for a lot of us. Not so much for me, though, so don't feel bad. But as a child, and even as an adult, it hasn't really been an issue for me. But I remember when I was younger, my brother, he just had a terrible time getting up. And this one day, he had to go to school. My mom was trying to get him up. Tried everything, kicking him, pulling him, yelling at him. Nothing was working. So my dad decided to get some firecrackers. And he took these firecrackers and he put them on the windowsill right by his head. And he lit them. And we all ran out of the room. And about six or seven loud bangs. And all you heard was my brother go, oh. And then he rolled over. And he went back to sleep. He wasn't the rise and shine type of person. Phenomenal sleeper, though. So the point is, first comes the rise, and then comes the shine. So if we think about an illustration of this is the sun. Right, when the sun comes up in the morning, first it rises, gets over the horizon, and then it begins to shine. And when it shines, it provides us with light, provides us with warmth, and it provides us with good old vitamin D, which we all need to feel good about ourselves. And if we're going to reach people for Jesus, the same is true of our walk with God. And it's kind of like what Pastor Doug was talking about. We need to let our light shine so that people around us can see Jesus, see his love, see his the salvation in our lives. Because the only way they're going to know is through us. Right, God can lead them and prompt them, but they really get an illustration of the light in the world. We're called to be salt and light in the world, and that starts with through us. So let's just look at Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus talks about this a little bit, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I just want to pray with you guys again. I know we've prayed a few times already this morning, but I feel like we should pray. Father, I just invite your presence in here today, God. I know you're already here. We can feel your Holy Spirit, God, and I just pray that you would direct my words, my heart, my life, as I deliver this message today. Father, I pray that those who are hearing it may have ears to hear. Just open the eyes of their heart, God, that they may feel this message. Amen. You see Jesus talking in this verse, and he's talking about light. And Jesus points out how light is made to shine, to illuminate. You don't light this lamp and put it under a bowl because it has a purpose. And that purpose is to give light to everyone in the house. You know, back then they didn't have light switches and lights like we do. So they lit these lamps. And then they could see their way in the darkness so they could get around without running into stuff. Light has a purpose. And it's the same way Jesus calls us as followers to let our light shine to those around us. And we do this so that God can be glorified. I have a question for you guys. Do you feel Christians as a whole are doing a good job at letting their light shine to the lost, dark world around them? And another question, a little more personal. Are you, who call yourself a follower of Jesus, doing everything you can to let your light shine to those around you? Now, I don't want you to answer that question too quickly and just say, yeah, I am. But I just want you to think about it for a little bit. Don't answer with your head. Let it soak into your heart. Really contemplate this. As I was preparing this message, and God brought this question to me, you know, I really began to think about it. And after I prayed about it, meditated on it, honestly, the answer was No. You know, I was reminded of opportunities I missed, situations where I could have been a better example of a follower of Christ. You know, sometime when I could have been maybe a little more humble, a situation where maybe I let the anger get the best of me, somewhere where I could have just done a little bit more, tried a little bit harder to reach a lost soul. And I think it's hard sometimes for us to be honest with ourselves because we follow Christ, we come to church every week, but are we really doing everything we can? You see, in our culture of abundance and in our society of self-serving, self-indulgence, it's way too easy to miss out on these opportunities to let our light shine, right? There's so many distractions out there. There's so many things, so many places that we need to discover, so much more stuff we need to own, so many things we need to post on Instagram, so many desires that we need to satisfy because that's what the world's telling us. And before you know it, if we get caught up in this stuff, we're missed out on our ability to let our light shine. And instead, with this light that we have as Christians, what do we do with it? We keep it to ourselves. We use it for our own purposes. We use it to prosper ourselves and make ourselves feel good. And that's not how it was designed to be. I believe as Canadian Christians, we're falling asleep. And we're letting our light dim. Slowly, but it's dimming. And we talk about 2020, and it's a year that's going to set the tone for this whole following decade. So how are you going to start it? This world of darkness gets dim and it rocks us to sleep. Slowly we fall asleep and close our eyes. So what do we do? What do we do? You get up, you rise up, and you let your light shine. That's what you do, right? We need to get excited about this because it's something good. All God's promises are yes and amen. All right? One thing I do when I first wake up is every morning, it's almost the first thing I do is brush my teeth. I grab my toothbrush, I grab my toothpaste. Yes. And I begin to brush my teeth. And as I'm brushing my teeth, I look up in the mirror and that's what I see. It's not this guy. It's that guy. It's a little scary. So what do? You know, I shower, I shave, I do my hair, and voila, a new person emerges. And after this new person emerges, I look into the mirror, I see myself, and I know that I'm decent and representable, and I can go about my day, do my business, and I remember what I look like. In James chapter 1, he talks about a mirror, God's mirror. James says, if someone hears the word of God, but he doesn't act on it, he doesn't do what it says, it's the same as if someone looks into a mirror, turns away, and they forget what they look like. Now that seems pretty silly. You know, usually when you look in a mirror, you remember. But the truth is, if you really believe something, you will act on it. If you honestly believe it, you're going to act on it. I want everyone here to do something with me right now. Trust me, it's not going to be bad. So everyone take a deep breath in. And now let it out. It's like yoga. So every time you breathe, you're acting on a belief. Every time we breathe, we're acting in faith. Right? We're believing that the air we breathe in is going to give us fresh oxygen, fill our lungs, deliver it to our blood stream, keep us healthy. But we can't really know whether the air we're breathing in is good or pure. You know, sometimes people breathe in carbon monoxide, and it slowly poisons them because you can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't taste it. But we have faith that this air in this church was good, and we breathe it in, and we expect it to keep us living. We need to walk the talk. This is so important, guys. When we hear the word of God, it's not truly belief until we act on it. You can say you believe it. You can say all the right words. You can say all the right things. You can quote scriptures in the Bible. But until we live according to what it says, it's not truly known. We forget it. It's like we look in the mirror, we turn away, That's what we do when our life doesn't line up with what we say and what we believe. If you're a follower of God, you should be impacting, the Word of God should be impacting you on a daily basis. Everything, your actions, your thought patterns should all be affected by the Word of God. And if they are not, then you are like that person. Forgets what they look like. What does Jesus do? Jesus calls us to go into action. To go, right? He says, go and be fishers of men. And when he descends into heaven, he says, go into all the world, baptizing people, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are actions. These are things we should be doing as followers of God. And when I talk about falling asleep in our society, it's because we just think someone else will do it. We don't think it's on us to get out there and actually do something. You know, Burton's up there preaching. He's talking to people. Yeah, but people aren't going to come into these doors. People aren't going to hear this message unless we're bringing them. We want to be a culture that brings people here because they need this. And if you really believe it's true, then you're going to do it. Don't hide your light under a bowl. Right? We shine our light to other people around us. As a Christian, the whole point of living is to live for Christ, right? To follow Christ and to do what he calls us to do. It says to live is Christ and to die is gain. So the purpose of our time here on earth is to do his work. And then when we die, we get to spend eternity in heaven with him. That's why that verse says to die is gain. Rise and shine. There's a story in the Bible. I love this story. It's about four men and they're carrying a paralyzed guy to see Jesus, because they want him to be healed. So they travel a bit, and they get to the part where this building where Jesus is preaching. And this place is packed. Not like this place today. Jesus is a much better speaker than I was. So people would come out from all around, come to see Jesus, and they get there, and there's people looking through the door, trying to lean in and just hear a bit of this man, this God's son, preaching. So they can't get in. But they don't give up. They carry this guy all the way up to the roof. And these four men begin to remove sections of the roof, one tile at a time, these heavy tiles. And then they lower this man through the roof to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus sees this man laying there at his feet. And the first thing he does is he looks at him and he says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. That was his priority. As he says this, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they begin to question him. Like, who is this man that forgives sins? Like, who does he think he is? This is Jesus. And Jesus senses this, and he replies, and he says, what's easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? And he looks up the guy, and he says, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately, the guy gets up, starts walking, and goes home. And everyone that witnessed that day, they were so amazed. And they began to praise God because of that miracle that they witnessed. This is an example of us. You know, we are lame in our sinful lives. We can't do anything. We can't get up and walk. And then we have this encounter with Jesus where we meet him. He's the only one who's able to forgive our sins and wipe our slate clean. Jesus is the only way to have our sins forgiven. There's so many things out there that will say, you know, if you do good enough or you act good enough or if you follow this religion or that religion. No, Jesus is the only way. It's what it says in the Word of God. And he forgives us when we ask and when we admit that we're sinful. We admit that we need him. We know we have this dependence on him. After we are forgiven, he calls us to get up and to rise up and to go into action. And our lives as born-again believers are meant to be a light to the people around us. A way of showing people that Jesus saves us. Jesus gave us this new life, made us a new creation. They're not going to know that unless we are out there doing things that represent him. Right? Otherwise, it's like bad publicity if we decide to do things that are against the Bible and just live our own worldly lives, but say, hey, I'm a Christian, and people look at that and they're like, oh, well, that's great. I don't see it. Where's the light? First we are forgiven, and then we rise up. Then we shine our light. There's an order to things. The light exists in all of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus because he made a way through the darkness, right? By giving his life on the cross, by overcoming sin, by overcoming everything bad we ever did, Jesus made a way. You know, the enemy's been defeated. There's victory. We're living in a time of victory. Why doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Sometimes we live defeated lives. Poor me. Look at everything bad in my life. Look what I'm going through. Jesus made a point of showing his ability to forgive sins before he healed this lame man, because he knew it was an issue of the heart. He knew that's what was really important, was forgiving the sins first. The man could not walk. Could be you or me before we met Jesus. He's full of sin and despair, just lying there helpless at the feet of Jesus. He has all of his sins forgiven, and then he gets up and he's healed. We're brought to Jesus in this lame condition. Then he forgives our sins. And our natural response in this is to share that encounter, what we've experienced with other people, right? That moment where we become a Christian. It's so powerful. Yes, I like in this story how there's four men that brought him to, right? He didn't do it alone. And we all have people in our life that these four men can represent. People who impacted you along the way. People who maybe brought you to church for the first time. People who just showed a good way of living, and you're like, hey, what makes you that way? Why don't you do these things? Why do you do these things? And you say, it's because I'm a Christian. It's because I believe in Jesus. It's because I follow God. Right? There's people in every one of our lives, and we can pinpoint these people. They could be family members, friends, mentors. You know, for me in my life, I think about my mother, who at first brought me to church. Sometimes she actually carried me, kicking and screaming. But I'm thankful for that. I think about leaders I had at youth group who really impacted me before I came to know Christ. Just good examples of Christians. Think of my grandmother, my older sister. But finally, I think about the people who walked with me down the aisle in the Air Canada Center, 10,000 other youth at a youth conference back in 1999. And they walked with me up to the front where I was before Jesus, and I realized all the sin of my life, so much. And I felt so helpless to do anything about it, but I knew that I wanted Jesus in my life. I was in the church before, but I never made the decision, and you know, I'm 16 years old, and before that, I was having troubles, falling away and getting into trouble. So I go to this youth conference, and it impacted me so much that I go to the front at an altar call. And as I'm there, I feel God telling me that your sins are forgiven. Not just the stuff you're going through, but the sins from your past, the sins from your father and your father's father and generations, the sin of the world that we're born into, that all of us have to face with deals day in and day out. And he said, your sins are forgiven. And he said, now rise up, go and tell somebody. And it's so important that we tell people when we're saved. In those first couple years of being a Christian, you're on fire and you love it. And you're like, hey, I have this great gift. I want to tell you about it. Right? But for me, that was over 20 years ago. And sometimes what happens over that long is you begin to forget about it, about that day, and you can go through your life and you can just start going through the motions. And that's sad. Jesus didn't desire us that way. Right? You think of those songs like, I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I'm see. It's like a complete 180. It's this amazing gift that God gave us. And sometimes we need Jesus to remind us who we are. And you guys need to be reminded that you're children of God. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus and accepted him to his life, you are a child of God. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see the sin in your life. He doesn't see any of that. All he sees is a child. And if you have children, you know when you look at them, you see innocence. You see that pure light. They can never do any wrong in your eyes. And Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us every single time we ask. Shining your light is an ongoing process. This life we have on earth, it has opportunity after opportunity for us to shine your life. If you think there's no opportunity for me out there, like, where are these lost people you're talking about? I'll show you. I'll take you some places. And even I guarantee you at your workplace, I guarantee you some of you in your home life, extended relatives, there's people you can be reaching who are lost. With every trial we face and every victory is an opportunity. Right? Sometimes we think the bad things in our life are deterring us or keeping us from spreading the gospel, keeping us from talking to people about Jesus. But really what they're doing is giving us opportunities. You know, a trial we face and a hard time we go through, we can turn it around and use it to say, yeah, I'm going through this, I'm struggling, but Jesus is with me. I'm going to keep my head up. I'm going to say, praise God in this moment. Praise God in this suffering. Praise God in this illness. Praise God in this financial difficulty. And by doing that, people will get a good example of the light shining in you. Because even though there's darkness around you, the light is lighting the way. People are watching us all the time, especially as Christians. And the way we respond to trials and these tough situations, that's going to be an example of the light around you. And it really starts with the power of Jesus, and it starts with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need more Holy Spirit in this church. We need to be ushering in more and more and more. You look at the early church, and it went leaps and bounds, and it reached so many people, but it all started with the Spirit being touched, being filled. You know, the Spirit is what lights the fire. The Spirit's what ignites us. The Spirit's what starts every great movement of God. If we're going to do miracles and have healings, then we need to be released from stuff in our lives. We need to be, on a personal level, we need to be met, and we need to be brought to a place where we can experience that freedom. And that's not going to happen unless we have the Spirit moving us in power. Let your light shine, not so you can be a star, not so you can say, hey, look how good I am, but let your light shine to those around you who can find their way in the darkness in this lost world, so that they can see their way. And sometimes by us letting our light shine to people that don't know Jesus, we can come alongside them, right? We're not meant to do this life alone. And sometimes people are so lost and hurting and struggling. They don't know how to get through something. You know, they're dealing with something in their life that's just completely overwhelming. And if they don't have Jesus, it can crush them. It can destroy them. Where are they going to know Jesus from? From you, their Christian friend. That's why it's so important when people are struggling and you're trying to help them to actually use your faith as an example. That's the light. You know, I attended school to become a social worker. I was taking behavioral sciences, and they were talking to me and they were telling me that, you know, to help people, you're not, like, if you're going to be certified and certificate, you can't use your faith. You can't talk about God to help these people. And that was after 2 years of my three-year degree, and I dropped out. I said, this isn't for me. You know, if I can't use Jesus to help people, then I know no other way. I can give them all the good advice, and I can tell them to do good things in their life. But without Jesus and without the Spirit, there's not going to be any change. Without Jesus, there's not going to be any healing. Right? If you're going to see a counselor, please see a Christian counselor. If you're struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling in your family, make sure you see a Christian counselor. Because Jesus is the only one that can bind you together. The greatest opportunity and the greatest timing to lead someone to Jesus, like most often when I've prayed with someone, the salvation prayer one-on-one, it's been when they're hurting. It's been when they're lost. It's not when their life is all hunky-dory and everything's going great. Right? You're not going to lead someone to Jesus when they just won the lottery. They're like, yeah, my life is good. But when they spend the millions of dollars and they're out on the street and they got nothing left and all their friends left them like the prodigal son because, hey, you got nothing I want anymore. And you're that one friend who comes to them and sticks by them and says, hey, I'm still here for you. Even though you have nothing to give me, I am still here for you. That is what Jesus did. Jesus is the Son of God. He's perfect. He didn't need anything from the people around him. And yet, he hung out with those people. Jesus is the light, and the world will see Jesus by you and me letting our light shine. Our light is seen by our love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 8. These are love verses. I mean, the way that love is described in these verses, it's like a poem. And it really, like, if you just let them soak in and feel it, the sense of this is just how great the love of God is. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. If we're going to be light in the world, it starts with us showing love. Jesus showed that unconditional love to everyone around him. And he didn't have prejudice of who he hung out with, of who he showed love to. Jesus wasn't preoccupied with people's social standings or where they were coming from, right? Like we see in Scripture, he hung out with the least of these. People with leprosy, prostitutes, thieves, tax collectors. And I just think, like, he was just so open to showing love to everybody. And as Christians, we need to have that same spirit inside us. Like, we can't be above anybody. We just need to humble ourselves, show the love of God. And as a church in City Light, if we're going to do anything, if we're going to reach our mission and have our vision fulfilled, it needs to start with love. And I believe each and every one of you here knows that, and you have a sense of that, and you have so much love to give. It's just unlocking that potential. Right? We keep that love bottled up sometimes. I mean, I know men struggle with it a little more than women, like being communicating that love and expressing that love. Right? We say it once and it should be good for the rest of our marriage. Whereas women say it over and over and over. I told you I loved you like last week. Is that not good enough? No, right? But they're going to know we are Christians by our love. They'll see the light in us because we choose to love. We choose to love when the world chooses to steal, cheat, lie, go behind their back. That's what the world does. That's the spirit of the world. But as Christians, we choose to love. We're showing our love. And as saints, we're going to honor God by loving first. Right, just like Pastor Doug talked about last week, is we love God with all our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. There's many Bible verses about a day of judgment, if you will, where we're going to stand before God and he's going to judge us. I'm going to go through a few of them. There's actually more than you would think. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it says, "But I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment to every careless word they have spoken." Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. "For the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will repay each one according to what he has done." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive his due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. "But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Romans chapter 4, verse 12. "So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." I used to read these verses, and I would think that, you know, when I died, I'd go to heaven, and I'd get to those pearly gates, and there'd be an angel standing there next to God, and have this huge scroll. He'd roll it out, it'd be like miles long, and on there would be every sin I ever did from the day I was born to the day I died. I'm just being judged. Like, look at all this stuff you did. But, you know, God gave me clarity on this. And once we give our lives to Jesus, like I said before, he's faithful and just to forgive all our sins. They're erased. We're given a new slate, a new creation, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. Right? God looks at us and he sees our children because of Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, I think that account we're going to give on that day is very different than someone who hasn't accepted Jesus. We live in a great culture. We're given all these resources. We all have abilities and talents. We have finances. You know, even if you're in the bottom 10% here, you're in the top 10% of the world in wealth. Unbelievable. With all this, we have an opportunity to use these talents, these resources, these finances. We can use them to do good for God. I believe we will be held accountable for all of the missed opportunities. And we're going to be rewarded for the good we do to further the kingdom of God. Just think about that for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It said, "We will receive our due for the good and the bad." Well, Jesus takes care of the bad, doesn't he? He removes it, gives us a clean slate. So what will determine the good we do? It's our choices, day in and day out. We all have choices to make, don't we? Every day when we get up and I brush my teeth, I have a choice whether to shave and do my hair. I could just go out looking like a mess. And it's the same on our insides, right? What thought patterns do we have going on? What are we doing in our life, in those secret, dark places? What do we say to ourselves? But we could clean it up, clean up our act, clean house, go into those dark places, get rid of those spider webs. And we can't do it alone. We need each other to do it. And that's why we come together in small groups. It's not just because it sounds nice, but it's because we can help each other. We can lean on one another. We do life together. Rise and shine. I encourage everyone here to wake up, get up, like they were told to that lame man. Your sins are forgiven. If you've chosen to follow God, your sins are forgiven. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say that you're still bound by those sins. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say that because you did this and this after you're a Christian, you know, you're no longer a Christian. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say that when you get to heaven, there's going to be this big list of things that you've done wrong. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Listen to the truth. The truth. There is an absolute truth in our world today. There is. The world will tell you there's gray areas everywhere, but the truth is Jesus. The truth is a person. And if we accept that person into our hearts, and we know that he loves us, he's going to forgive us of all those sins, wipe the slate clean. So after you're forgiven, get up. Get up, take your mat. That's your walk as a Christian, and let other people see it. Sure, you're going to have struggles. Sure, you're going to suffer. You go through a lot of hard times, but let's do it together. Let's carry each other's burdens. Let's really be here for one another as a church. Don't you want a church like that? Yeah. Wouldn't you rather come to a church instead of just sitting on Sunday, getting fed, walking out the door and living your life? Wouldn't you rather meet with these people during the week? If you have a problem, wouldn't you rather have someone there for you? Yeah. So many people complain that they're alone and they have no one there for you. But I ask you guys, what are you doing? It takes some effort on your part. Especially, like I said, you guys who don't want to talk to one another. I'm guilty of that sometimes, right? We don't want to keep things bottled up. We want to be here for one another so that we can do good on this earth. Be different than the world, you know, and store up our treasures in heaven. I'll just leave you with that. Amen. Amen.